Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Basically, giving honor to where honor is due. And we're so grateful for President Trump and some of the things that he's trying to streamline to make sure that law enforcement and their families are taken care of if they get injured in the line of duty or if they pass away protecting, serving us, doing their job. But he also signed another act, and it's called the American Law Enforcement Heroes Act. And this act is to help those who have served in the military transition into a new career in law enforcement when they come back to civilian life. Many of these guys, as you know, Steve, you know, were in the military, former Marine, I'm sorry, present Marine, who, you know, served us, but coming back home, like, what kind of job am I going to get? What am I going to do?
For me, when I was in, that's the hardest part of the military is transitioning out, because a lot of guys don't have that. I mean, I went through 2 years of intensive training before I even deployed to serve in my combat unit. And when you get out, the way my contract worked, I had basically 2 weeks. I went through, I think it was a three-day class. They call it SEPs and TAPs, Separation and Transition Assistance. And it's basically, here's how to make a resume, some of the things that you did here, what employers can do. And, oh, by the way, here's PTSD. So talk to people if you need to. Thank you for your service.
Wow, and 2 weeks.
If that, yeah.
Wow.
And that's not always, that's how my contract worked out. So.
Yeah. And so now you have to process, what am I going to do for a living?
Right.
How am I going to transition back into society? This is so, so important because, you know, I'm a firm believer. If you don't stand with people that are defending and standing with you, you're going to have fewer and fewer people to say, I'm going to sign up for that.
Yeah.
And what are we if we don't have law enforcement, if we don't have military, you know, then lawlessness continues to go all over the place and no one's protected. Well, we want to take you straight into the White House as President Trump makes really another amazing announcement in terms of what they're doing to streamline the medical process, streamline the medical records so that, and modernizing it, so that the veterans can actually have access to their medical records a whole lot quicker so that they can have better service when they go into it to be taken care of. Watch this.
But before discussing our plans to modernize air travel, I want to provide an update on our efforts to fix and modernize vital services for our veterans, our great, great veterans who we all love. For decades, the federal government has struggled to accomplish something that should be very, very simple, seamlessly transferring a veteran's medical records from the Defense Department to the veterans groups and to the VA. In recent years, it has taken not just days or weeks, but many months for the records to follow the veteran. This has caused massive problems for our veterans. I'm very proud to say that we are finally taking steps to solve the situation once and for all. Secretary Shulkin announced this morning that the VA will announce and modernize its medical records to use the same system as the Department of Defense. No more complications. The records will now be able to follow the veteran when they leave service, meaning faster, better, and far better quality care. Thank you. This is one of the biggest wins for our veterans in decades, and I congratulate Secretary Shulkin for making this very, very important decision. Thank you, Secretary. Appreciate it. I appreciate it. He's done a great job. Stand up, Secretary. Where's Secretary Shulkin? What a great job. Thank you. Of course, there is still much work to do, but for today's action, shows the determined leadership and what it can accomplish. Great, great reform. So again, to David Shulkin, thank you to all of our veterans who have served this nation. A very, very special thank you. This is truly wonderful. really monumental reform, so important for our veterans, but it's just the beginning.
This is so important because if you remember not too long ago, in the distant back there, you know, veterans weren't being taken care of. Mm-hmm. There were long lines, they were on waiting lists, they needed medical procedure, and they were being literally forgotten. And there was outrage all over the country thinking, how is this happening in America? How is this happening to our veterans? Mm-hmm. They deserve better than this.
Yeah.
And so this was a campaign promise saying, I'm going to stand with these veterans and I'm going to make sure that we take care of this. And look, he's doing his job. He said he was going to do it and he's doing it. I'm grateful for it, you know, and I know many military families are. But Steve, talk to us because this is an important thing. I mean, you're a veteran and these guys are coming back, but they need help.
Yeah. Well, I think about what you were saying earlier when you were talking about law enforcement is that when your perspective about law enforcement changed, you had empathy for them and you had compassion for them. But there's a lot of guys that understand who are veterans. How do they talk to people who aren't veterans about what they're going through? If you have no idea what I'm going through, I'm going to be a little apprehensive about sharing with you what I've seen in war because you're probably going to think I'm some type of psycho. And it's just like, no, I'm just trying to process with what I've seen. So it's like we have to have empathy and not judge people trying to share their heart and be vulnerable. So we have to listen to them. So the thing is, though, if we want them to share with us, we got to present to them and it's safe for them that they can be open with us. I want you to watch the veterans talking about this. Take a look.
I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm good. But I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good. But I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but nobody understands.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
But I can't get out of bed.
But I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
But I don't even know who I am anymore.
But I still have nightmares, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good. But I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Our veterans need our help. They need our support. They need our prayers. And this is something you and I, Steve, we've talked about this, you know, quite a bit. About being there for these men and women and giving them a listening ear. You know, as the church, we have so many opportunities to pray with people, to encourage them, to get them the help that they need so that they can be whole.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times we've talked about, you know, people getting purple hearts for being physically hurt and doing something heroic. But, you know, sometimes the things that you see in your own, with your own eyes, the things that you experience have such a impact on your mind. You know, someone can say one bad thing to you and that's logged in your head all day and it's ruined your day because someone said something bad that offended you. Now imagine how different your mind would react day in, day out. You're seeing the atrocities of war and the things that happen to people, how that would affect your mindset, your way you view life, and the way you view really human beings. And we've been talking about law enforcement, we've been talking about veterans, and how we need to stand with those who are standing for us. And we're seeing some major, major changes occur from Washington, D.C., towards policies, procedures, modernization, and expediting benefits to those families who really need them because their loved one was serving us. And so, I mean, this really touches my heart because these guys and gals and women, men and women, they're unsung heroes. Yeah. They're people that don't get any kind of credit for risking their life every day. But Steve, I want you to share with our viewers, you know, your experience. You are a Marine who served us, you know, two tours of duty in Fallujah, in Iraq, and you had an interesting experience.
Oh,
you know, when you left out of the military and you came back into the United States, you know, back in civilian life, what was that like?
It was definitely an accelerated process. The way my contract worked out is my 4 years enlistment ended while I was deployed. So before I even deployed, I had to extend my contract. So how it turned out, when my deployment was over, I had literally probably about 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks, and it was just like, and then I was a civilian.
So 2 weeks prior to that, you were in Fallujah?
I was in combat operations. I come home. I had a little time to, like, structure my room to, you know, get everything out of storage. And then I went through a transition class, which was about 3 days. Like we talked earlier in the program, it's just like, this is how you make a resume. This is how you talk to employers. This is post-traumatic stress disorder. If you have problems, thank you so much for your service. And that's not now I want to be very careful when I say that this is not the broad stroke statement for most of the military. This was my personal experience. So when I got out of the military, I knew I didn't want to continue that lifestyle because I had a gun on my chest every day. I was in a combat unit. So I saw that each and every day. I wasn't sitting behind a desk.
You wanted something different.
Oh, yes. I wanted something different. So when I transitioned out of the Marine Corps, I moved entirely across the United States from where I initially lived, moved to the Gulf Coast, and I didn't know what to do with my life. And I started waiting tables as a waiter because I had waited tables in college.
Prior to. So here you are. You were serving in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You back 2 weeks of transition, mm-hmm. which that really amazes me.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're back in civilian life and you're waiting tables.
Yeah, and that in itself, back into American culture after two deployments, was more of a culture shock for me than my first exposure to the Middle East.
Tell me more about that. Like, what do you mean?
You are so amped. A lot of people say, you know, hyper-vigilant, hyper-awareness. You know, people have many terms for it. But you're so aware of your surroundings because you can't let your guard down. You're in a 24/7 environment of there are immediate threats, lethal threats to me and my brothers to my left and right. And when you come home back to America, it's like there's such an individualistic mindset. Everybody's out for themselves, mm-hmm. and nobody has a grid for what you're going through.
A lot of people don't.
Right. And what made it more difficult in my circumstance was I was trying to move past what had happened in the Marine Corps, and I really didn't even know how to communicate with a lot of the guys that I served with because when I would talk to them, I didn't want to be a civilian. I wanted to re-enlist, but yet I was fighting with that because it was just a process that you're trying to learn what you go through.
What did you do while you were there? I mean, just kind of update us too real quickly, like, what did your day consist of?
While I was deployed?
Right.
I was part of a reconnaissance unit. So we would literally walk amongst the villages and talk to the people, kind of coordinate with tribal leaders. And we were basically looking for the bad guys. And when we found out where they were, we would go there. But it was a constant awareness of we could be getting shot at, we could be, you know, going over roadside bombs. And
so that's a constant day in, day out pressure, stress.
Yes.
That's on you every day. You're a moving target.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So then to come back home and listen to what some Americans can complain about, you know, their iPhone, traffic, TV. So it's kind of like you don't really understand, okay, where do I fit in this? I don't even know how to live again. And so I started waiting tables. So I'm like, I guess I better get a job because mm-hmm. I got to pay for my apartment at the time. And that in itself was even harder.
Wow.
Because you're listening to people, you know, snap their fingers at you because their steak was cold.
Wow. So you're like, you know, you just served them, you know, put your life on the line.
Yeah.
And they have no connection, no clue, and they're snapping fingers.
Right. But when I look back out on it, I'm so glad because that was just God's orchestrating his hand in my life, just drawing him to himself. Because it was during that very season that I would leave work every day on the verge of tears because there was so much aggression and stress and just unknown navigated emotions that you just don't know what to do with your life. And when you're encountering Americans in that environment, it's just kind of like I could snap on people, and it was just like I was afraid of myself sometimes.
Sure.
And that's exactly what had happened on one specific instance when I was waiting on a table. And I was waiting on a lady. She's probably in her 60s or 70s, and I forgot her ranch dressing.
You forgot the ranch dressing?
2 ounces of a condiment. And
what was her reaction?
She was yelling at me. I mean, finger in my face. Just lost it. And as I'm staring at her, I just immediately, I saw myself punching her in the throat. I saw myself killing her and standing over her. And
you just got back from Iraq. I mean, you were in like war mode.
Yeah.
And there was no help with the transition. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you're about to lose it.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, it was because of that stressful moment right there. I had nowhere else to turn. And I walked away and I said, God, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. But if you don't come down here and take this, I'm either going to kill somebody or I'm going to kill myself.
Mm.
And it was at that moment as if somebody was standing on me and they just got off.
Wow.
And all that pressure was immediately just gone out of my life. And I was more afraid in that moment of almost of responding that way than I was about killing that lady, because I knew that was God.
Mm.
And that's the thing. It's just like there is hope in Jesus Christ. What we're seeing, what we're talking about, what law enforcement is going through, what military is going through, is the fact that you can find hope in Jesus Christ. There is answer, and he knows exactly where you are.
That's an amazing, amazing encounter when I think about it. Because, you know, you and I, we've talked about this, you know, for quite a while, mm-hmm. about helping people. Not every veteran has suffered to,
right.
to you
right.
know, extreme, you know, issues, you know, they have had. Everyone's different, what I'm trying to say. Everyone has different degree of things that they're trying to process. But it's important that we recognize that and then we get people that, you know, help, that need the help.
Yeah. And that's the huge thing, is because we're recognizing the fact that, okay, somebody's going through a situation that they have no idea how to navigate.
Right.
But when they recognize that there's people there for them, that there's people that genuinely care, because that was a huge ministering moment, because that day that I called out to God, it was that very next weekend that I met your family.
Wow.
Because that was when you were transitioning, and it was just like God is so orchestrated that you never know how God wants to use you to minister to someone and just say, you know what, God knows what you're going through. God knows what you saw, and he's got a plan for your life. And it wasn't all, you know, for neglect.
Sure. So what would you tell a Marine? What would you tell a veteran or family of military about what we can do, the importance of really having mercy and empathy for somebody who has served, you know, served us?
Well, the first thing I would say is don't blame people that have no idea what you're going through right now. That there are people that genuinely care about you. There's people that are praying for you. And cry out to Jesus Christ right now. When you're awake at night, you can't sleep, you see these same images, your friends that are buried right now, God knows your heart. God knows all that pain. You can cry out to Jesus Christ right now and find rest in him, find safety in Christ alone.
Wow. Well, listen, we're coming to the end of this program. I really appreciate you sharing that, because we have a deep perspective now for all law enforcement, for those who have served in the military, and those who have given all so that we can be safe day in and day out.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.